Say the time. We are on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. And yesterday we discussed the opinion of Rav Huna, who says, Kapsa Zakukla, that the Hanukkah candles that go out should be relit. And we discussed three possibilities in Rav Huna. Whether you relight them is a hemshech of the first hadlaka, it's a continuation of the first hadlakas and nevos. Or is it a completely new mitzvah of hadlaka? It doesn't continue the first one. And the issue being, if it is a hemshech, a continuation, or a beginning of a new hadlaka, so then it's probably related to the concept of the piercing of the nes, because the first hadlaka was a hadlaka saner, but it didn't have sufficient piercing hanes, because the candle didn't burn the full half hour, and therefore you relight it again to get the piercing hanes. And we discussed at great length yesterday, can there be a piercing hanes without a hadlaka saneros, which we discussed the whole big controversy between the Lubavitch Rebbe and the Rav, about putting a menorah on bridges in public areas where you get piercing hanes, but there is no real hadlakas neiros Hanukkah because no one lives there. And the normal hadlakas neiros Hanukkah, the Gemara says neiros ubeiso, you put the neir by the pesach of the bayis or the window of the house, and that's why the question came up. Yes.
So did you explain why this was defined as being lived in the house?
No, I don't remember him ever explaining. He just kept on saying that this is what you see from the halacha, that the bayis is a critical, necessary element. But why did the chachamim do that? I don't remember him ever explaining it. I once gave a Hanukkah drasha, I think, where I said that the reason that the chachamim made the mitzvah of the menorah of Hanukkah depends so much on the bayis, the person should be living in the house and light the candles in the house, is because the miracle of Hanukkah was created by a family. B'mei Matisyo, Ben Yochanan, Kohen Gadol. This was a family which successfully created a revolution. So it began with a family. So therefore the mitzvah was designed to, in a certain way, to celebrate the Jewish family, which is the bayis where people live. So that's why they said they limited it a Pesach bayis to the entrance to the house or the chalon of the bayis, because it's a family mitzvah, and that's a ner issue beso. That the whole the basic mitzvah is that one person lights for the whole family, so it's a mitzvah of a mishpacha. So Hanukkah, we all know, is a family holiday. All the people gather around the table and they sing and they light the candles and they sing together, and it's a nice family meals. It's a family holiday, probably more than any other holiday in a certain sense. It emphasizes the family, because the nace was created by a family. Since once the nace was created by a family, so that's why they made the takana of Nerush Uveso. But then what happens later in terms of halachically, can you light the candles without the bayis, without a family, on bridges and parks? The Rav says no, it's strictly limited to the bayis. And even the Pirsim Hanes aspect of the mitzvah has to be connected to the Hadlakas Haner part of the mitzvah, which is related to the bayis, to that particular household. The Lubavitch Rebbe obviously felt that it was divisible. You could take the mitzvah, take it out of the bayis, and put it in the park, because you're getting the Pirsim Hanes, and since the Pirsim Hanes is being achieved in the outdoor area, so therefore you can do the whole thing. You can even make a bracha, and we spoke about this. That would have made more sense, perhaps, that the Lubavitchers should only make the blessing Shasa Nisim, because that relates to the public display of the nes. But the bracha of Lahavlik Ner Shel Chanukah they should probably not say. But the fact is that they do say both brachas, and they apparently feel it, since you're doing pirsum anes, so the bias is not necessary, and it becomes a Ner Chanukah wherever you light it. At the end of yesterday's shiur, we got into the question of the custom to light Chanukah candles in the shul. And upon the Babichur approach, it's a problem. It's just a public place where it's nice to light candles. And that would be a good basis for their custom to put it on bridges and parks and so on. But the question is, according to the Rav, who's very insistent, a strict interpretation, there has to be a Pesach Beso, Ner Ishu Beso, that's the Chiyuv, it's the Chiyuv of a bias. So the question is, what is this Minog to light? So actually it's right here in the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch on Simen Tov Reish Ayin Aleph Halacha Zayin. He says the Beis HaKnesses in the Shul Minicho B'Kotel Dovid, you should put the candles on the southern wall. Umadlikim umuvrochim beBeis HaKnesses, you light candles with a broch in the Beis HaKnesses Mishum Pesumei Nisa, because this is publicized the next. That's the Lashon of the Mechaber. Just sounds like the Babish, the Farish, that is lighting it for the shul. Shum Pesumei Nisa. Then the Ramah adds, the Ramah says, Hagah, Ein Adam Yotzei B'nei Rosh LeBeis HaKnesses, a person who cannot fulfill his mitzvah by those candles in the shul. Tzoruch lahadlik the beisel. You should light again in your house. It means that shamish or the chazan lights the candles in the shul is not the yotzei, his personal mitzvah. He should go be malik in his house.
That doesn't mean you have to do it in the shul.
He says you do it in the shul, but you're not yotzei, your personal mitzvah. Right. Then he says, "Uvnoagim." There's a lahadlik. The Beis HaKnesses ben Mincha l'Maariv. The minhag is to light in the shul between Mincha and Maariv. Between Mincha and Maariv. Yesh nogim lahadlik be'erev Shabbos kodem Mincha. But erev Shabbos you daven Mincha late, so we won't have a professional bein hashmashos. So the minhag is to light the candles in the shul before Mincha. So the question is, how would the Rav interpret this custom, which is quoted here by the Mechaber, it's a very early custom, and the remark, to light candles in shul, mishum pisumei nisa. But according to the Rav, you don't go ahead and light candles mishum pisumei nisa. You only light candles and it's a chiyuv of a Ner Chanukah.
No,
that
person needs to only be done with the
Feed
of
Nechanaka. Right, so what's going on? So you have, and the Ramah is befavorish that the Shamish or the Chazan who light the candles in the shul is not being Yotzeh, his personal mitzvah. When he comes home, he should light again. So what's happening in the shul is a completely separate, obviously, completely separate mitzvah. But they're making brachos. So you make a bracha, it has to be a very serious thing. You just don't make a bracha, otherwise it's a problem of bracha levatala. So it must be a real mitzvah. So what kind of a mitzvah is this? Especially according to the Rav.
He
says the Beirish. You mevorchim the Beis HaKnesses. He says you, Mechaber says you make a bracha. Yes?
Going back to why the Lord should be able to make a bracha, the suggestion that maybe it's Yisrael Chinuch. And like, you're allowed to use Shem Hashem. If you try and teach people like,
if it's chinuch, it's permitted. If that's the reason.
Isn't that the whole point for like Kiruv Rebbe trying to bring
everybody? Create Kiruv and chinuch.
So, and maybe that's also why you're doing shuls, in case people don't know how to do it. You know, this is how you do it, go home and do it.
That's a possibility that it's, everything is a chinuch. It's just a practice to teach people how to do it. You can make a bracha for chinuch.
Yeah.
I think it's a good, I think what you're saying is a very good, It would be a very good rationalization, explanation of it, but I don't believe that that's really what it is. I believe that they're more than Chabad. I think Chabad is definitely has Chinuch, but I think that they're saying Pesunei Nisa. So I would say like this: the Rama says that in the shul you don't put it outside. Now the rule is when a person lights candles himself, he should put it outside or by the window because it should be visible to the people in the street. That's what the Gemara says. It was formulated to put in a place by the bayis where it's visible from the street so that people walking by in the street will be yotze, right? Good, I understand that. So it says though in shul we put it on the southern wall. In other words, you are in Kodesh, let's say, normal shul, not the YU shul. Normal shul, let's say, Reuben or the morgue. So on Kodesh is facing east, facing Yerushalayim, facing east. So he says he puts it on the southern wall. Why the southern wall? Mechad faces the southern wall. Because in the Beis HaMikdash, you put the menorah on the southern wall. Now the Beis HaMikdash actually was laid out the other way. You're walking from east to west. So you walk from east to west, so the southern wall is on your left. As you walk in from east to west, the southern wall will be on your left side. Because the east, exactly. Northeast side. So you're walking west. Right, so south would be on the left side. That's when the Beis HaMikdash. Now here in Ashur, you walk in from the west, you're walking east, so the southern wall will be on the right side of the shul. For whatever, you put it in the south. Why do you put the menorah on the south? Because of the way it was in the Mikdash. So this is what I told you yesterday. This is the key to explain the Rav in terms of how to explain the Minhag. This is not a Minhag stam. Because the people are in shul, a lot of people in shul, so it's a nice place to put up candles for Pesumei Nisa, and maybe even a nice place to put it on the bridges and in the parks where people gather. No, only in a shul. Why? Because it's a special zecher l'migdash. It's a zecher of the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. For Haraya, the Rama says put it on the southern side, like in the Beis HaMikdash they put the menorah on the southern side. Why? Why should I put it on the southern side? Maybe I should put the menorah by the Aron Kodesh in the front. People will see it more. Be more impactful, more visible. Why on the side of the shul? Why not put it up front on the bima where people are laying? You see it. So why do you put it on the side? Because you want to make a copy of the Beis HaMikdash where it was on the southern side. So you see, and this is, I have to now add something to this because obviously it's very hard to understand. How does a shul turn into a Beis HaMikdash on Hanukkah?
It's not on Hanukkah, what it is. Just show that it's
on Hanukkah. Yeah. The whole year it's a Mikdash Ma'at. But we don't build up the thing that it's a small Beis HaMikdash. It is, but it's sort of understated. You don't have any, like, major expression of it, that it's a Mikdash. It has a din of Mikdash, the Gemara says, in a certain sense. It has a Ketusha, you have to treat the shul with respect, and many of the Mepharshim say because it's a copy of the Beis HaMikdash. In a much lower level, obviously. Anybody can just Tomei can walk in, no problem. But Chanukah, the shul becomes more clearly a Beis HaMikdash. Hanukkah, because you put a menorah there, which is like a menorah based on Mikdash.
Two questions. One is, why for a Zichron Mikdash do you have to make brachos? You light the Hanukkah and have it there.
We make a brach of Zichron Mikdash when we shake Mulav and Esek the other 6 days of Sukkot, which is also only a Zichron Mikdash, and we make brachos. So sometimes Zichron Mikdash creates a bracha. Now the Zechel and Mikdash of Korach, where you eat the sandwich with the matzah and the marah, that's a Zechel and Mikdash where you don't make a bracha. But the Zechel and Mikdash of the 6 days of Sukkot, you make a bracha.
But that's not fair because the only reason why it's a Zichron Mikdash is that's what was done in the Beit Mikdash. However, even though the menorah was lit in the Beit Mikdash, it didn't say the same bracha.
In the Beit Mikdash, they would make the bracha lahadlik kneres shel hamenorah.
So why don't we make that bracha?
Because we're thinking about Ner Shel Chanukah.
But it's not a Ner Shel Chanukah, it's a Ner Menorah.
A Menorah Shel Chanukah.
No, it's a Zichron Mikdash. It's got nothing to do with that.
Oh, it's not. It's only during these 8 days of Hanukkah that we light this menorah. If I would go into shul today and I would put the menorah into the southern wall and I would say, Asher Kishon Tzosim Tzironu Lahadlik Ner Shel HaMenorah, they throw me out of the Bracha Levatola. I'm not going to do that. It's only during the 8 days of Hanukkah that you can do this. Obviously Hanukkah creates the basis for creating this kind of Zeichel HaMikdash.
Fine, but you don't say the bracha Shosukot, you say Alalulav. So that's also connected to the idea of Sukkot. You don't do Lulav any day but on Sukkot. The same thing, you make the bracha that you would make in the Beit HaMikdash.
Okay, so I'll tell you what I think. I think that Shad is like this. Someone was saying this yesterday, but I don't remember who it was. Yechiel. Chanukah, we think of Chanukah as a mitzvah yachid, individual. However, this minug of lighting the menorah in the shul, zeichel mikdash of the menorah of the base of mikdash, because you put it on the side of the romi, like the menorah of the mikdash on the southern side of the shul, this is a minug of zeichel mikdash, which is a mitzvah of the tzibur. In other words, that's why he says the Ramah on Shulchan Aruch that Tzoruch Lachzor Lahadlik Bebeiso. You go home and you light again, make another brachas, even though he lit it in shul, because the Chazan didn't light the brachas in shul for himself. He lit it for the tzibur. This is a menorah of the tzibur. All neighbors Chanukah are neighbors in the bayis of the mishpacha. They don't relate to the Klal Yisrael. If I light 100 candles in my house, that's for my family. It doesn't relate to all of Klal Yisrael. It's only my family. The Yachid, or a few Yachidim. In Shul, it becomes already a menorah of Klal Yisrael. The menorah doesn't belong to any individual, but the menorah belongs to the whole Jewish nation. So the Zeichel HaMikdash of putting in the menorah in Shul is what? It's a zeichel mikdash. It's a mitzvah tzibur of Klal Yisrael. That's what I would say. Yeah.
How did you have explain how we light eight?
Because there were 8 days of a miracle.
You
mean in the shul?
Yeah.
The menorah of the shul.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to make seven. The Gemara says. The Gemara says we're not allowed. You're not allowed to make an exact replica of the clay HaMikdash, because they're only for the base of Mikdash. We're not allowed to do that.
So in the Shem HaMikdash, like the institution in the whole city,
right? Yeah, if they're making it for the base of Mikdash, yeah. Yes, Yomi.
You know, according to the Obama push, how do they explain the office of, let's say, having a menorah to
near your house? All the dinim would say that it has to be connected to the house. According to the Babiches, they'll have to say those are for the yachid when he does it for himself. It's a personal mitzvah, but when he's making a pirsum hanes for the public, those halachos don't apply.
So it still would be that there's an aspect of
a mitzvah yachid with a bias. You have to say that.
I guess we're assuming all the time that once you make the bracha, then you can have a ner.
Right. So the bracha helps you create the ner.
So, is there any way to think about it from the perspective of once you have a nair, then you can make a bracha, or is the bracha is what causes, as opposed to the nair causing the bracha?
Well, it could be both are correct. The nair creates the bracha, and the bracha creates the nair. I don't know. It's a good question. I was thinking about it also. Was Yaakov's question? I was thinking about it also, because I know that yesterday I was talking and I didn't hit that point. And that point was in my head. I didn't know. I avoided it because I didn't know what to say. It's a good question, yeah.
Someone asked a question to say that an interesting question that I was wondering about. Especially, even more so for the Zechor Mikdash, but also I guess for Chanukia. So, if the Nes was that all eight were lit, or all seven were lit all 8 days, right. And especially for the Zechor Mikdash, you light all the candles every day, so why on Hanukkah would we light one at a time, or we build from one to eight, or eight to one, and have the Beis Shem and the Hillel? Why don't we just light them all the days?
Because you're trying to somehow. Why not recreate the nest?
Why not light all the candles all this?
No, the reason that they're going up and down, the Gemara gives reasons. The Gemara says because of this or that reason.
Right, but that's assuming once you've already decided that you're going to either start at one and go to eight, or start at eight and go to one. But
apparently every day was a different kind of a nest. In other words. The nace built up. It built up. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. As it gets, the nace got bigger and bigger from day to day. So therefore, you want to reenact that when you're lighting your Shechanukah candles. This is how we pass them, most of the holy. You want to show that every day the nace got bigger. So you have more candles. So the nace is commemorating the growth of the nace from day to day. That's basically why we most of the holy. Okay, so Botai, it's still a question, because I don't know exactly where this minhag started to light Hanukkah candles in the shul, and especially to such a level that you can make brachas, because if it was a simple minhag, you would not make a bracha. That's what the Gemara says of the sukkah, that Shana Rabba, you take the arabos, it's a minug to shake the arabos, but you don't make a bracha because ein mevorchem ala minug. So this is a minug of a shul to put up a symbolic menorah of the Beis Hamikdash in the shul. To make a bracha is really astounding, but It almost is begging us to say that this goes all the way back to the time of the Chashmonaim. That is part of the original Takana of Chanukah, was to have a candle lighting in the shul as a Zeichel LeMikdash. Which is, was the problem with saying that is that it should have been mentioned in the Gemara that there's such an early Takana, and that allows us to make brachas. The fact that the Gemara never mentioned the Hadlakas Neiros of a shul it's only a minhag. So he says here on the side, the Be'er HaGola, that you make the bracha in the shul the way you make a bracha on the minhag of Halal Rosh HaChodesh. Abhi Sheinu Minhag. The Halal Rosh Chodesh is also, it's a very early minhag that goes back to the time of the Gemara. So this minhag is so early, it goes all the way back. Oh. So they ask you a question. The Rambam and the Mechaber do not make a bracha on the Halal Rosh Chodesh. So, you shouldn't make a bracha on the neves on the shul, according to the Rambam.
And the
Chabad
says you do.
The Chabad says you do. So it's very difficult. You cannot compare to the minhag of Rosh Chodesh. Oh. So I don't know. This is a puzzle. So see, the Mefarshim here don't have it. They cannot figure it out, and I also cannot figure it out. When did this thing start to make a Hadlakas Neiros in a shul? When did it start? If you're making two brachos, even Mechaber, who doesn't make a bracha on the Halal of Rosh Chodesh, because it's only a minhag, the Sfaradim don't make a bracha Halal of Rosh Chodesh, it's only a minhag, we don't make a bracha. So why should the minhag of a Beit Knesset be a greater minhag? It's a greater minhag. Where's it coming from? So unless you propose that it goes all the way back to the original takana of the Chashmonaim to light tanka candles in the bayis with brachas, they also made a takana to light in every Jewish synagogue with brachas, which fine, they can make a takana. Takana, you make a bracha. It's not just a minhag that people did on their own. It's an old takana. But why didn't the Gemara mention such a takana? The Gemara didn't. The Gemara speaks about all the aspects of Neiros Chanukah. Not one mention of a halacha or a takana with Rabbanon to light in the shul. So I don't know. I don't know where it comes from, the brachas in the shul. Yeah.
Was there a shul those days? I mean, this was the only thing. There was no shul then.
Oh, Beit Knesset goes way back. There was a Beit Knesset even when there was Bate Mikdash. Second Temple, there's. You go to have a tour of Israel. There's plenty of old shuls in the time of the Tanoim and Beit Hamikdash. Even Beit Hamikdash.
What were they needed?
Well, Beit Hamikdash is in Yerushalayim, but you have to daven. Early davening started, the Gemara says, Abraham Avinu tikein tfilas shachris, Yitzchak tikein tfilas mincha, Yaakov tikein tfilas marav. So it means in the very earliest inception of the Jewish people, there were three prayers a day. Shachris and Chamad.
After Korbanos were over, we started davening. I mean, Korbanos to go with Tfilah. So
no. Tfilah b'makom Korbanos tiknum. Yeah. They did. Well, there were two kinds of Tfilah. There's the Tfilah of the Avos, which we call Tfilah of Rachamim. The Bakish Rachamim. According to the Ramban, according to Rambam, the mitzvah deraisa, the avda kol avavcham, eza avodah shikolev, every omer zeh tefillah. So there's a mitzvah to pray, pour one's heart out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at least once a day min haTorah, and three times a day min haRabbanan from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Then, when the Beit Hamikdash was destroyed, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah came up with a new takana to daven also three times a day. And they introduced an element of Korbanos. So the tefillah b'makom Korbanos. So Shachris is a Korban Tamid Shel Shachar, Mincha is a Korban Tamid Shel Beinu Abayim, and Ma'ariv is Haktara Sein Murim Balayla.
So Musaf
is Korban Musaf. This was introduced after the Churban Beis Hamikdash. So, but during the Zman, the Beis Hamikdash, when it was still standing, people were davening because of the Takan of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, because of Rachamim. Right. I don't know where this thing traces, the Chiyuv Minog of putting a menorah into shul. But in any event, it has a din of a menorah, a mikdash. That's why whoever lights the menorah in shul has no problem going home and lighting again. Because in shul, it's a different kind of a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah of lakas neiros of mikdash. And you come home, it's neiros Chanukah. All right, so now one last thing. Apparently, to create the menorah of mikdash is also pirsum hanes. It's a pirsum hanes. People want to know, how come the whole year you don't create a menorah? All of a sudden, for 8 days, we're creating a menorah in the shul, like in Beis HaMikdash. The southern side of the shul, the answer is because it's Chanukah, and Chanukah commemorates the purification of the Mikdash, and is symbolized by the burning of the menorah for 8 days. We reenact that in the shul, so that's why it's a Pirsum HaNes. It's a Pirsum HaNes. Yeah.
So, want to answer that question by saying the following. That the Lubavitch understanding of that would be as follows. That even if the Rebbe wants to say that about the Minhag, that when the Minhag was established, so how would they light the shuls? They would light the shuls also with candelabras and candles and what have you. And so there would be nothing special about putting another menorah anywhere else in the shul. However, specifically putting it on the south wall would cause people to ask the question, why are you putting it on the south wall?
Okay.
But the fact is today, where you don't light shuls with candles and what have you, so then Lubavitch would argue, no, but putting a candelabra anywhere in the shul, let alone on a bridge or in the middle of a park, is going to get people to ask that same question. They're going to go ask, why is it the menorah here all of a sudden now?
Okay, you're saying a very nice pshat. You're saying that the reason that it's put on the southern side, not, I'm saying all this big fancy advanced Torah, that it has a dinner of menorah based on Mikdash. No, you're just saying stam in order to get people to notice it, because anyway, in those days you had candles and lights like that all over the shul.
So it would make them feel like it would be the Beit HaMikdash.
You agree with me about the Beit HaMikdash? You do agree. Okay.
Why not? But the point is that today, it doesn't have to be on the south side to remind people about the Beit HaMikdash, though.
Oh, sure it does. Only the southern side has the symbolism of Beit HaMikdash. If you take a menorah and you put it on the eastern side or western side, that's just the opposite of the way they did it in the Beit HaMikdash.
But even today, if you want to think of the menorah and the Beit HaMikdash, you put it on the eastern or western side?
We're talking about educated people who know.
Not necessarily. I mean, if you're talking about the populace, which is especially what Chabad or Lubavitch play to, I mean, they're not the most educated
people.
Oh,
if you're saying that this whole thing is based upon Pirsum HaNeis, the Lubavitch approach, a lot of people, you make a menorah for Pirsum HaNeis, for the tzibur, but that is not the mitzvah of the yachid. And this is just not Pirsum HaNeis, like on the bridges and tunnels. Then fine, then I agree with you. Nowadays you could put the menorah not necessarily on the southern side, put it someplace else, and you'll get Pirsum HaNeis. That's possible. I agree with that. That is possible. That is possible. Okay, now let's go back to the Gemara. So now we have another question. The Gemara said that according to Rav Huna, you're not allowed to light the Hanukkah candles from the very bad wicks, because they might go out. If they'll go out, you have to relight them. And Rashi says a person might forget to relight them. So therefore, these wicks and oils were disqualified in the first place. The only thing is, Rashi's lashon is a little difficult. You see the Rashi? Kavsa nechanaka zakukla lesakna. You have to fix it. Hilkach tzarech lechatchila lasos yafa dilma pasha v'lo masakin lo. Therefore, he should make it lechatchila nice, because otherwise, if he takes something poor, he might forget or might be negligent and not fix it. In order to get him, not to get him boiled in the problem of having to relight it again, which is a chiyuv, so we want him to use it with the correct wicks. What does Rashi mean by the word lechatchila?
From the beginning.
But let's say a person didn't listen to this rule of Rav Huna, and he did take the bad wicks and oils and did light the menorah. Would there be a kima mitzvah, or is it a bracha levatala? It seems from Rashi's word lechatchila that it's only a din lechatchila. It's better to do it this way. But if he would go against the takana and he would have to use the other wicks and oils, he would be yotzei b'di'evet, which then would mean, what would he be yotzei? Mitzvah hadlaka, not mitzvah pirsum HaNeis. Hadlaka he could get if he lights something poor, but pirsum HaNeis he won't get, because the thing will not last a half an hour. It's doomed. It's a candle which is doomed from its very inception to go out, because it's a very bad, badly burning wick and oil. So when Rashi says, Tzof lechatchila, you should make it good, what does he mean? You're yotzei, and if you don't do it that way, you took bad wicks. Rashi could have said, Hilkach chayiv lahadlik yofra, v'imlo hidlik yofra, pasul. Rashi doesn't say that. It says, Tzof lechatchila lahadlik yofra. It's mashma from Rashi that in the worst case where he did not listen and he lit the bad wicks, he was yotzei. What is the yotzei? Hadlaka. Not Pirsum HaNeis. Pirsum HaNeis, things going to go out? How can he get Pirsum HaNeis?
So Hakni was split between the two. We presume that he's like a mirror, but Hadlaka was totally
hand in hand. That's the chiddush of Rashi.
You don't have real Hadlaka.
Excellent question. The question is, the Gemara on the second side of the page says Beferish, Inami Lishura, that if you want to be Yotzei Mitzvahs, Hadlokas Nevis Chanukah, you have to put in a half an hour's worth of oil, which would burn for the people to see it in the street. You have to have a shear. If you don't have a shear, you're not Yotzei. So the question is like this. So if a guy lechatchila takes a match, and he lights a match, which will last for 10 seconds, it's not Yotzei. It's a bracha
levatal.
Why?
No, sorry.
Either the hatlaka, without a shear of shemen, without enough burning material for the half hour, it's not called a nechanuk, it's puzzle. So why is Psilus Ushmanim She'ein Maldikim Em B'Shabbos, Rashi says only Lechatchila, it's no good. But B'Dieved, according to Rashi, you are Yotzei. What about the problem of something which doesn't have the shear? Why is this better, according to Rashi, than lighting a candle which only has 10 seconds worth of oil? 10 seconds worth of oil is puzzle. You need a shear.
By the 10 seconds of oil.
Exactly. There, where there's no shear, it's a certainty that it will not last for the half an hour. So since it's for sure not going to go for the half hour, it's a psul of shear. It doesn't have the shem, the status of a ner. The status of a ner Chanukah is a ner Chanukah which has sufficient shear, which is big enough. If it's not big enough, it doesn't have the potential at all. It's completely excluded from Pirsum HaNes. Possible. These Psilos Ushmanim, She'omru Chachomim, Ein Madlikim Behem B'Shabbos, could burn a half an hour. But there's a strong likelihood that they won't. I would say like this, my personal opinion is, these things have at least a rove chance. At least 51% chance of burning. The full half hour.
But even more, it's only a Shema that
I Shema Yatzeh.
Right, so it's more.
You would say 85, 90% that it's going to burn the half hour?
That's
your lighting. This is a very, very, very critical question. Because I'm going to soon give you some very practical examples of this. If you have a candle which could possibly last a half hour, but not for certain, then it comes under the category of Psilos Ushmanim. She'amu Chachamim Ein Madlik Mem B'Shabbos. If for sure it won't last the whole half hour because it doesn't have a shear, it's puzzle. Everybody agrees. There's no machlokas. The discussion in the Gemara between Afuna and Rav Chisda and the next man Dom Avav is only discussing what? The Psilos Ushmanim She'amu Chachamim She'ein Madlik Mem B'Shabbos. These things have a shear. They have a half hour's worth of work. But the problem is that they have a tendency to go out. Now what kind of tendency is it? My personal opinion is it's less than 50%. It has to be called having a shear, it would have to be at least 51% reliable. Then it has a shear. If it's less than 51% reliable, it's not even a shear.
Yeah, I'm very confused about that because I'm not fair on the fine Pshuva Nisa. One of the fine Pshuva Nisa, people seeing it, that means, technically speaking, if you have a 5 hour room of oil and there, no one sees it, then you're not going to say it.
Should be big enough and have enough fuel to give us the potential
for all people to
of
see it.
Pesima
Nisa. So let's say I don't have the potential, but people do see it. So you go to Rashi and still want to be Yossi.
If it doesn't have the shear.
Hey, hello everybody in the party. I'm not going to like this match. Remember the miracle of Hanukkah? Strike. Now, a lot of people watch that.
Not Yossi. So
I understand that. It's a Pesima Nisa, though.
Because there's no Cheftz of Ner Hanukkah.
The way the
Rav
says,
that's not a chepz of Ner Chanukah. Because a chepz of Ner Chanukah has to have a shear, has to have a certain size of fuel.
That's
not understand. I don't see how it's actually the case.
Why did the rabbis create such a shear? Because in a normal, everyday situation, that shear guarantees a minimal of piercing a nest. Because that shear
is potential for so many days.
It's a potential. Right. But in most cases, in the average village where they're lighting candles, this is the kind of thing which will create the Pesumei Nisa, because it's burning for the half an hour while people are coming home from shul. They dive in the night and they walk home. So on the way home from shul, they see these freshly lit candles. And so most likely that's, so the rabbis created a fuel size requirement that in order for something to be called Ner Chanukah, it has to have a certain size. But it won't work. If you don't have that size.
I think they're like this long, long, foot long, like those. See, I understand, you know, the Hatchila, you want to have a half hour, you want to see the that doesn't work. You pursue an Issa in front of 100 people, but not pursue an Issa, you don't have the shear. But if I have a whole gallon of oil, and now one person walks by, and it's pursuing an Issa, that's very understandable.
Well, that's pretty good.
Because the pursuing Nisa.
It's only theoretical. It's only theoretical. If you satisfy a theoretical amount, then it's good. If not, then no. Well, if I actually have people watching it, then it's irrelevant, because theoretically people could have seen it. If I theoretically have an hour's worth, then it does work if nobody sees it.
Look,
so theoretic is more important than what happens in real life.
No.
It always is, because the theory is the lumpus, and the real life is the balbatus.
Wait, who's that? How many people are obligated to see Ner Ishud Beis, so that means?
No, people on the street. We light it on Pesach Beis, so for people on the street to see it.
Right, but so I understand the question that the potential of people seeing it on the street vis-a-vis that you put it, the menorah in the right place, at the right ledge, at the right height, and with the right shear, overrides that, you know, that defines this because no one walks by, and yet if there's no shear and people do see it, but that doesn't fill them.
The shear, because the rabbis, the chachamim, first and foremost wanted the pesumei nisa to be in the potential of the cheftz of the ner. In the ner itself, should have enough fuel to give us a reasonable expectation that in a normal village, people coming home from work and synagogue in the evening will see it. Some people come home 5 minutes after the sun goes down, some come home 20 minutes after the sun goes down. Within a half an hour, 80-90% of the people have come home. So during this period, the Hanukkah candle should burn in order to guarantee a reasonable Pesumei Nisa expectation. If you don't have that guarantee in the chetz of the ner, in the fuel base of the candle, even though you have in effect really in real life created that, because what you said, you shot off, what do they call this, a Roman rocket for Hanukkah. So dark for 10 seconds, and the whole town saw it. Because it went up to the sky. And it made a big splash. Puzzle! Like Chazel and Yom Kippur. 100% puzzle. Bracha Levatola. Mamash. So for leaping the Sedin, for shooting up a Roman rocket for piercing the nest of Hanukkah, and making a bracha. Puzzle Mubuto Ka'afa Da'am. Like Hummus and Pesach. Why? Because it's not a Chefza of the Chanukah. It doesn't have the shear. It doesn't have the size. The fuel in the Chefza is part and parcel of basic definition. And they did that in order to make a reasonable expectation for the average Blow Joe Blow, to be Yotze Pierce of Aness. So they built this in. Now, of course, you could have an eccentric, special Jew who's extraordinary, and he's going to shoot up Roman rockets or these other things, fireworks for Hanukkah. But he's an eccentric. He's not the normal, regular Joe Blow. So for him, they didn't make a takana. He has his own ways of being Pierce of a Nest. That the Rav said is worthless. You have to follow Chachamim. You can't make up your own Pierce of a Nest. The Chachamim said it has to be a Ner Hanukkah. A Ner Hanukkah has a fuel base. Otherwise, it's not a Ner.
Can we say that
Isn't it easier to say that it's not considered a respect or kavod for the mitzvah to use something like that, kind of slow burning thing, versus it's not really considered lighting that only lasts for that long? Like if I take two rocks and smack the rocks together and it causes a spark, I'm not going to consider that a fire, I'm going to consider something burning. If I have a match only for a minute, technically there's a fire, which is there, it's not really considered a real flame, because it's only going to be there for a minute. Versus a shear, you need a shear for it to really be considered a flame, for it to be burning, for it to be considered a kavod. As opposed to the puzzle causer, it's like, as opposed to this being totally nothing whatsoever. And then you're doing mitzvah.
Oh, you want to say that less than the shear you're yotzei b'dieved?
Only less than the shear is not considered a fire, or a permanent fire, or a flame at all.
Is that called a nair?
Otherwise, it would. It's not only considered a nair for reaching a fire or blowing up in the air. If it's so temporary, it's not only considered like a real fire.
Maybe. You could say it. You could say it. It could, I mean, you.
Otherwise, this is really great to say that theoretic, and I shouldn't explain the trash of this down, but to say that theoretic is more meaningful than the reality is very weird.
Well, maybe it's not theoretical. What is reality? Maybe it's reality. Shimshon. Let's hear Shimshon, because he's waiting.
So, good answer to Shlomo. So, if you're not going to define the nair as a shiur, then the fact is, light your chanukah gift for 10 seconds or not. If I stand up in the middle of a party, I make a big clap, and I say, everyone, tonight is more than Hanukkah, this and this happened, no menorah whatsoever. So according to your definition of Pesuma Nisha, I was in for 2 minutes.
You need an action.
Do
some sort of masa.
Fine, so what's that? I made masas. People are doing masas. Why not? Right? Theoretically, that should be, that's a masa that would also be in for 2 minutes, according to your definition of Pesuma Nisha. I give people latkes, we open presents, we sit around and sing Christmas carols, and that should be the same definition for Shemitah. So you don't have the definition of what we say is a chesed and nair chanukah.
Two things. Number one, when you light the match, you're actually in the masa. If the lot is safe, lighting a candle or lighting a match, that actually has to do something with the mitzvah. The miracle of
no, so Rabbi Zayin does it.
The menorah group burning. We just bring being the latkes and doing something. We avoid the masa, and the masa has to connect back to Hanukkah somehow.
Rabbi Zayin
does it. The match or candle is temporary. Is both. It's a masa as well as it connects back to.
So if I stand up, I light my light. I'm like,
yeah. You want to light your fingers in oil and you're like,
why do you think any fire is also connected back to Hanukkah? It's not true. Meaning, you're making the assumption that any fire is automatically connected back to nair chanukah, and the answer is no. The nair chanukah is defined as a nair that has a shiur, and anything that doesn't have a shiur is not connected to that.
Okay, let me say, yes.
Perhaps this is not the realm of theoretical, but the reality. What's the mitzvah of pursuing Nisa? It's connected to the mitzvah of lighting chatzchila, a nair chanukah that has the proper shiur. When we do a mitzvah, do we measure that the mitzvah has been recorded because it fulfilled an indirect purpose, that there's a recipient of the action of the mitzvah? For instance, v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha, I love a fellow Jew. That I didn't fulfill the mitzvah if they're unaware that I did something for them.
Stick to Hanukkah. So by Hanukkah, us into other areas.
By Hanukkah,
what do you want to say?
I'm going to say I'm doing a revelation of a miracle.
When?
Who's seen the revelation? Who cares? They have the potential to see it. Why is it not only theoretical but reality? Because I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of revealing. Revealing is the mitzvah. To whom is it revealed? Irrelevant.
And no one's
seeing it. I reveal. To whom is it revealed? I love a fellow Jew who feels and receives the love. Irrelevant. I did the mitzvah. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Good. I like what you're saying.
What matters here is Me'ikara.
The Madlik.
The Madlik.
The Ik is on the side of the Madlik.
Right. We're not talking...
The Madlik, he created something which could give Pesume Nisa. That's the mitzvah. There's
we're
no mitzvah
about
to actually drag people to look at your candles.
We're not talking about
the mitzvah is to create something which they could look at, to be a mavlik.
The mechayev here is that is the lahadlik.
Lahadlik.
We're not dealing with the tanah.
Very good, excellent. Yeah. Very good to say.
Okay. No.
So back to the two aspects, does this mean that the Amaki has to be Yotze strictly with the Ka and the Pirsum has to be Yotze with the Ka? Right? Like the Amaki just has to have the potential of the Pirsum actually.
Well, that's what he just said. He said that even the Pirsumenis is just potential.
But the potential is.
That's what Shlomo was arguing. Shlomo feels that Pirsumenis should be real.
Well,
but what he's saying is that the Chachamim did not create a real Pesumei Nisa playing field, because that's a completely different story. How many people you can line up and bring down to look at your candles and make field trips to watch people's candles, that's a different level. The chiyuv is to be a madlik and to create a nair which has the potential of creating normal Pesumanes. It has enough fuel, it's in the right location, and that's it. And you go back to sleep. You don't have to make anyone come and look at it. If they come, it's good, because that's what the Chachamim want them to do. But that's not a chiyuv of the madlik. That's not the mitzvah of the madlik. The mitzvah of the madlik is to create the potential of the pirsumanes. Yes?
In my last question, I was saying that Halacha is defining the luck of Neros as having a shir. The problem is that we're defining the theoretic of what a shir is and what a lucky arrow is based on the reality of when people are moving around.
Right.
More explicitly, why is it from sunset to when the people leave the market, people sell fire, leave because that's everyone's going back home, everyone's going to see it there.
This is a general.
We're making a theoretic shir on the reality of when people are going home.
Right.
Instead of thinking of what real reality altogether, just do theoretic and that's it.
No.
That's what we're saying.
You base halacha on the general reality. The general reality is that you don't have a guy standing in the middle of a party of 150 people who says, look, Ner Hanukkah likes to look
like I agree, I'm saying
Bidi Evid and other people don't work that way.
Why not Bidi Evid?
Because the way that the Chachamim made the Tekken note and the halachot, the ram, what we do for Mitzvot, you would bring up 1,000 cases where the specific reason why it should theoretically apply, but it doesn't fit in with what the Rabbanan said. The fact is that the way the Rabbanan created the halakha is so people learn the right way, people give it over the right way, and people don't go and do their own thing. However they do it should be done, that might fit the letter of the law. It doesn't make
sense. Because this against the basic rules of Takanas Chachamim is that, of course, there's always good reasons for the Takana, and the Takana has a goal, it wants to achieve something, but then it creates a format. That format is inviolate. You have to stick with the format. So here they created a requirement that the Nair should have a sufficient fuel supply to produce reasonable, expected pirsumanes. Now that's what I want to talk about. Why is the difference between less than the shear is possible? But according to Rashi, because you use the word lechatchila, if you light shmanim upsilos shemelchim v'shabbos, it'll be kosher b'diabed. Now I'm not saying that you're totally wrong, Shlomo. Could be that if you light with less than the shear, someone could argue with me. If Rashi says you yotze b'diabed on the psilos to shmanim she'ein matlikim b'hem b'shabbos, according to Rav Huna, who said not to use it, but the Evid, Rashi says you still be yotze, then Rashi might even say, if you light 5 seconds worth of oil, you also yotze. However, not mashma like that. Mashma, that's less than the shear, it's mashma. Everybody agrees it's pasul, kachometz, bepesach. It's afa ka'ara batal and mabutal ka'afa da'ara. It's nothing. But silos to shmanim she'ein madlikim ben b'shabbos, which Rav Huna says not to use for Chanukah, but the Yevet, if he did use it, he is yotze. Because Rashi puts the word lechatchila in there. So what's the difference? So I want to suggest as follows. If it doesn't have a shear, this is what Noam said, if it doesn't have a shear, that means it's 100% not going to last a half an hour. That's right. Puzzle. It doesn't have the shear. But if it has the shear, but it's very poorly burning fuel, but it has it. It's a whole jar full of animal lard. This thing can burn for 7 hours. Sometimes it does. But it's not a certainty. So then, according to Rashi, you yose b'diavad. So I want to understand, what kind of percentage expectation do we have? Because if our expectation for it to last a half an hour is zero, a match, it's 100% puzzle. If our expectation is that it's going to last for 98% of the time, it's 100% kosher. So what are we talking about when Rashi speaks about the psilos ushmanim she'ein ma'dikim ben b'shabbos yoyosei b'diyaved, but you shouldn't do it l'chatchila, but yoyosei b'diyaved? I want to suggest that it has, the potential to last probably less than 50%, but more than 25%. I would say it has a miut hamatsui. It's a good chance it will last, but not overwhelmingly. Maybe we can say it's a rove, maybe it's even more than 50%, I'll say. Okay, it's a rove, but with the rove, it's more than 51%, that it, I would say like this. If it's less than 51%, then it doesn't have a shear. If it's only, say, a 35% chance it's going to last a half an hour, that's not a shear. It's going to a shear means at least 51%. Most of the time it's going to last. So what is considered psilos ushmanin she'ein ma'dikim ben b'shabbos? Why should it be kosher b'diyabed? According to Rashi, it has to be more than half the time it lasts a half an hour. But it's a miut hamatsu, it's very likely that it'll go out. Let's say 25%, 40% goes out. But at least 50% lasts. That's why it's kosher b'diyabed. But pasul l'chatchila. It's a rove that is a last, and a miut hamotzui that it will go out. That's called psilos ushmanim she'ein ma'dikim ben b'shabbos. So now, both sides, because of this, I want to tell you that all the colored Hanukkah candles are no good. They sell you in these little boxes, the Hanukkah candles.
Wait, these the last 20 minutes after...
The Hanukkah candles are no good because even though the majority of them last half an hour, but a great number of them in the minority don't.
You mean the chatchila is no good?
They're certainly... Maybe, but the chatchila definitely not.
Maybe?
The chatchila definitely not, because you want to have a full shear. And if you don't have the full shear, you're getting involved in the problems of psilos ushmanim she'ein ma'dikim ben b'shabbos. So therefore, definitely stay away from the colored candles of Hanukkah.
But I thought you said it. Yeah. Once you have a robe, then it's okay. I thought.
I'm thinking that if you have a robe that will burn, but miut hamotzui, a very common miut, that it won't, that's called psilos ushmanim she'ein ma'dikim ben b'shabbos. If it doesn't have a robe that it will burn, how can Rashi say it's kosher b'diavad? If the robe that it won't burn, it should be puzzled. It's not a shear. Let's say it's 60% won't burn a half an hour. 40% will burn a half an hour. How in the world is this person going to be yotzei the mitzvah with a candle which is such a serious problem with it?
Can you repeat what the problem is again? I'm sorry.
The problem is, what is the definition of a candle without a shear? And what's the definition of a candle which is psilos ushmanim she'ein ma'dikim ben b'shabbos? According to Rashi, the psilos ushmanim she'ein ma'dikim ben b'shabbos, you yotzei b'diyeved. It means that it has a shear. No shear? It's possible b'diyeved. So Rashi is saying that the psilos ushmanim she'ein ma'dikim ben b'shabbos are candles which have a shear.
And you're saying Hanukkah colored candles
are these. Because the colored candles of Hanukkah
have a shear.
They do last. If you take one candle by itself, it will last more than 50% of the time. Half an hour. It has a shear. But a large amount of them, for one reason or another, do not last the half an hour. Especially when you're lighting a few in a row, because then the heat from one to the other makes them burn quicker and melt down. So let's say the fourth, fifth night of Hanukkah, when you light those candles, let's say you have six candles on the sixth night. Four out of the six will not burn a half an hour. Two might. Or maybe even the four do burn a half an hour. Two won't. It's a large meat. One is enough. Right. But that one itself is only a 60% chance of lasting. Which means that 40% of them won't last even if it's one. So therefore it means that these are not the best candles. They might have the shear, Yoyosei b'di'eben, but they're no good l'chatchila. At least according to Rafuna. Why are they no good l'chatchila? Because they don't have a guarantee of permanence. The guarantee is what makes it 100% kosher l'chatchila.
Well, they're wax. First of all, they're wax, which is common. Say you're not a...
Okay, we're makel on wax. We pass like
so
the wax.
So what is the we're makel on wax? So it's just now...
Isn't wax from
this is just a
we're makel on wax, the wax you can use for candles, because our wax candles are reliable. But I'm saying because these little colored Hanukkah candles are made so thin and so unstable, they have a large failure rate. Not more than, it's less than 50%, it's a miut. But that miut is matsui, it's common. And the miut hamatsui is a psilo sushmanin. She'ain madlik and behem b'shabbos.
So why is there a issue than the anti-scandals?
It's a kasha. Oh yeah, so I have to give you the solution. Because obviously the gedolim who send them out know what they're doing. This is the solution of the Rav. Because the Rav was the one who raised the red flag against these Hanukkah candles. He said he doesn't like them. They're no good. He insisted you have to use at least Shabbos candles. No one should use Hanukkah, so-called Hanukkah candles, because they have a huge failure rate. You have to have a candle which is a tiny failure rate, a very large and overwhelming success rate. These candles have too large of a failure rate. Therefore, he's against them. However, people are using them. So the Rav said there's only one solution. Namely, you have to freeze them in the freezer before you light them.
I tried that, it doesn't help very much.
It gives you another 10 minutes.
I tried that, I timed it. I did a cover up and exactly what you said with the colored ones. To see, so I got all over my microphone. I found about the strong ones, the colored ones, and it didn't help. At least I did experiment on one, and it worked.
No, no. I use.
An extra minute or something.
No, no. Your freezer was broken.
I stuck it in the icebox.
Icebox? Nothing! The freezer, I said!
The freezer in the icebox.
Not the refrigerator. The freezer where the water freezes into ice cubes.
Yeah.
You put it there for how long?
At least 3 hours.
Not good enough. Overnight.
Months?
At least 12 hours. So it gets frozen like a stick. Like a frozen popsicle. You have to put it into overnight into the freezer. Let it sit there for a good 12 hours, and then you'll see when you light it, it will have a success rate. I'm talking about for half an hour, which will become very large. It'll have at least a 95% success rate for the half an hour. So you have to freeze them overnight. Then you can use them.
It doesn't say that on
a package. It should. Any package you should have written on, use only when frozen. Do not use in room temperature.
Huh?
Can you
buy
things
in the freezer?
Okay, yes.
The problem is that Rashi seems to be, according to that, Rashi splitting Rahun into three categories as opposed to two. Rahun doesn't sound like he's saying anything along those lines. He says, whatever you can't light on Shabbat, you can't light for Hanukkah. Meaning that he's talking about the same shura, the same everything.
Right.
So the fact that no one makes a distinction by Shabbat, also no one should make a distinction by Hanukkah.
Right, I agree. Rashi's a chiddush. Rashi's an incredible, sensational, unique, and probably lonely idea that Rapunah is only speaking l'chadchila. I would think that everybody else who reads the Gemara, like Shimshon, says Rapunah is saying it's possible for the Eved. Just like on Shabbos, if you use these unreliable wicks, it's possible. Hanukkah is also possible. He says, "Kishen shein madikim b'Shabbos, kachen madikim b'Hanukkah." Rashi too in the river. Chachilo.
The freezing etzah doesn't solve the problem
of the
Silos Ushman
Shabbos. That's just off the problem of candles that are too short. That doesn't touch on the quality of the wax.
No,
we're not dealing
with wax is good quality, the problem is not enough wax. This wax is good. The Hanukkah candles we're using is not exactly the Gemara's case. Okay. It's similar, but it's not exactly. The Gemara's case is that the wax itself is inferior. The Hanukkah That's candles are colored, is kosher. I'm just comparing it to the Gemara. Oh. It's not exactly the case of the Gemara. It is a good wax. That's why they sell it. They say, wait, this is normal wax. What's kosher? What's it not traveling? Yeah, but it doesn't burn reliably for half an hour. Chacham. That's the problem with the manufacturing of these candles. Why are you being so skimpy on the wax? Barely lasting a half an hour, 60-70% of the time. Why not make a fatter candle? That's the issue. So that's why the Rav said you have to use Shabbos candles in order to avoid the problem of the unreliability. Of course it's kosher, but it's not good. The Gemara's case, it's puzzled because in the Gemara's case, the wax itself is inferior. Here it's a borderline sheer. So that's why we're saying, so the answer to that is, freeze them! If you freeze them, then you have no problem with the sheer at all, and you have no problem of unreliability, because it'll last a half an hour 95% of the time. Okay, Shlomo's freezer was broken, so he got from the 5%, which didn't last a half an hour. But I've lived many times, not personally, but I've let children in my house when they're below the age of bar mitzvah chinuch. For chinuch, I didn't insist that they have oil. Nowadays, once my kids got over 12 and 13, I dropped all wax candles and I use only olive oil,
Rabbi,
which lasts at least 7-8 hours.
Rabbi, this example is still confusing to me, at least, because
why?
Because it's hitting on the issue of shear and not on
it's a similar thing.
But I think it's not for the shear. The amount of wax is the shear. It's the fuel which causes the candle to light. So we're not discussing Silos.
It's a topic of a shear. That's why it's a more serious problem than Silos Ushman.
If there's no shear, it's possible to be evident.
That's why those candles are very serious problems.
Okay, so there would be no machlokes about the candles in terms
but
of
someone could argue back and say, listen, do 51% of them last? So I have to say yes. Even in room temperature, absolutely. So then they'll say, well, 51% is a shear. So then why then is it? It's because we shman shem alikim em b'shabbos. Have a shear, but a miyut hamatsui that they go out. So maybe it's no good lechatchila. In any event, put your wax candles into the freezer and don't have any Hanukkah problems. Don't just light them straight out of the box, because otherwise you have problems. If your sister, baby brother, baby sister are using them, so then make sure they get frozen for a good 12 hours before and you can use them. Also, if other people in your family are using them, make sure that they get frozen. Otherwise, you have big
wax
problems.
Wax candles frozen?
Huh?
Wax candles frozen?
Freeze the conical wax candles in your freezer before you use them in order to guarantee a full half an hour of the shear.
They sell longer.
Or get the longer ones, which certainly last an hour, even at room temperature. Or use Shabbos candles, which is the best. Shabbos candles will last 6 hours. Now go ahead.
Just quick.
Yeah.
So Rashi is explaining what Rav Huna could be saying. Rav Huna says you have to relight the candles and smutter to use them.
Oh.
He's only saying lechatchila. He's saying again. I'm just trying to clarify Rashi's interpretation of Rav Huna.
Rashi.
So lechatchila, you're supposed to use not these junky kind of wax things. But if you have, you're allowed to use one though, even for less. So for Rav Huna, you'd be a less than a shear.
No. That's what I'm talking. The last 20 minutes. It has to have a shear. But these candles have a shear. Why? Because they're more than 50% reliable. That makes a shear. But they have a strong tendency to go out. That is why it's a
problem. Okay.
Yes.
So people who don't read the Rashi, Kivat Zakut means what? That he relates different candles, or that he relates the same candles? Because he's relating the same candles, not helping much.
Oh, very good. If you read not like Rashi, because Rashi is a very, very unusual idea, pshat. Simple pshat in the Gemara is that he's saying that if it's unreliable, it's possible.
So you like different candles.
Second. So therefore these things are possible. In other words, according to the straight pshat, not Rashi.
Right.
If the candle has, according to Rav Huna, a strong likelihood to go out, even though there's a more than 50% likelihood that it'll last, it's still possible. Because that's called psilos ushmanin she'ein matlikim ben. When is it kosher? According to the straight shot, not Rashi. Straight shot. When is it kosher?
When you have a good wax.
A good wax means overwhelmingly designed to last a half an hour. 98% reliability. 99% reliability. That's kosher. But if it has a miut hamatsui of going out, then it's possible. Okay, now the next issue is like this.
Wait, so according to the chapter 7, what does Zakuk love mean? You go and relight different candles?
Different candles.
You should obligate someone on this one.
But.
So
Zakuk love means if you happen to light candles which were good,
right,
which had a shear, and were totally reliable, 98% reliability, and it went out, you should light it again. Not these waxes. In general, Kofsa Zakula, any Ner Chanukah in the world, the biggest Ner Chanukah, a Shabbos candle, goes out, Rav Huna says Zakula, light it again. With good wax. And because of the halacha of Zakula with good wax, they created a psul in the poor wax. So they don't want people lighting things which are not reliable. Why? Because of the law of Kafsa Zakhla. Forget the Rashi. In other words, since Kafsa Zakhla, we have to explain this because you hit the very sensitive point. The Gemara straight, not like Rashi. The Gemara straight, not like Rashi, is that if Kafsa Zakhla, the psilos ushmanim she'ein madlikim ben b'shabbos is possible. Why is it possible? What did it have to do with kafsa zakukla? So why is it possible?
Because you might be negligent. So to begin with, they said, "Don't use it." But we're saying that
because you might not relight it. That's why they said it's possible.
Does that mean to say that?
One second. Turn the page. Rav Chisda Amar Mavlikim Ben Bechol. Let's continue a little bit. We'll come back to this. Rav Chisda Amar Mavlikim Ben Bechol Avalo B'Shabbos. He says you can use it during the week, not on Shabbos. This is how we pass like Rav Chisda. Okay. Kasava, because Rav Chisda says, we're doing some Gemara now. Kofsa ain't a zakukla. If it goes out, you don't have to relight it. Mutar l'shtamish liora, so you might use it on Shabbos, it's possible. Amar Rav Zeh, Rav Masna, Rav Zeh, Rav, Psilus v'shman v'shom ha-chachomim, ain't ma'vik amem b'Shabbos, ma'vik amem b'Chanukah. Bein b'chol, bein b'Shabbos. Amar Rav Yim, in my time of the Rav, kosova kofsa ain't zakukla. If it goes out, you don't have to relight it. But also l'shtamish diyora, because also l'shtamish diyora, there's no problem of using it on Shabbos. Okay, let's put Shabbos aside. I want to just focus on kofsa ein zakukla. So what does it mean kofsa ein zakukla? I lit a good candle. The candle had 6 hours worth of wax and oil, and it went out after 10 minutes because someone opened the window and the draft blew it out. So we say kofsa ein zakukla, and therefore kofsa ein zakukla, I can use even poor wax. But I need a shear. Continue the Gemara a little bit. Continue the Gemara. Amu abon kamer d'abay mishmeid v'yemi yavelo kibla. Kosta rov namu abon kamer d'abay mishmeid v'yochanin v'kibla. Om izakoy gemit l'shmeita mei koro. For Gemara? Now I'm going to give you an kusa. Now the Gemara says, for chofsa ein zakukla. For the candle goes out, you don't have to relight it. V'reminu? How can you say that? We said in the Braisa, Mitzvoso mishetishka hachamo ad shetichlo regel minashuk, from the sunset till people start walking in the street. My la be kopsa hadamadlo. Doesn't this brisa mean that if it goes out right of the gan? Lo. Doesn't it? First of all, it might mean the ilo ablik mablik. It might mean that you have a certain amount of time to light the candles between sunset till people come home. That's all it says. But actually kopsa ain't a zakaklo. Inami or lishura. It might mean you have to have a certain amount of oil to give you sufficient quantity to last from a shetishka chama shetichleg of nashuk. So really, if I put in enough of a shear of oil to last from a shetishka chama shetichleg of nashuk, I'm yotzei if kopsa and it goes out, ain't a zachut lo. I don't have to relight it. Just I put in the shear. I put in the shear, it's good enough. And now, because of kopsa ain't a zachut lo, I can then use siloisu shmanim shamu chachamim ein madlikim ben b'shabes. I can be madlik b'chanukah because kavsa ein azokah klo. So it's back to the same question I asked before. What about the shear? Everybody agrees you need a shear. These waxes she ein madlikim ben b'shabes seem to be not reliable. If it's not reliable, it's not a shear. Shear everybody requires. How can the Gemara say, if kavsa ain't a zakah klo, I can use Evan Shemen, she ain't not thinking member Shabbos? Where's the shear? Black shear! It's not reliable! Even if you say kavsa ain't a zakah klo, the Gemara says you need a shear. What does a shear mean? Reliability! What is shear? Shear's not just a size of oil, it's reliable oil. What does the size do? It's a guarantee that it will last a half an hour. So how can you like Tzilz and Shmanim, Shema, Big Member Shabbos, they're not reliable? That means they don't have a shear. I don't care how big the pot of lard is. Does it burn or not? It doesn't burn, it's kosher. How can the Gemara say it's kosher? What's the answer? Apparently, according to Rav, the Tzilz and Shmanim, She'ein madlikim behem b'shabbos have a shear. Why do they have a shear? Because they're reliable. They are reliable. But not totally reliable. That's why it's a machlokas. They're somewhat reliable. But not totally.
You mean somewhat not reliable.
Somewhat not reliable. If something is totally reliable, means, I don't know what number, 95, in statistics, they like 95% as being either 95 or 99, you know, in statistical, something is 95% likely, so they say, okay, it's considered to be likely, or reliable, or 99%. It's like light bulbs, so if 95% of the light bulbs will be okay, so you can sell it on the market, no one's going to bother you, 99%. So let's say a shear, 1 second. Totally reliable is psilois ushmanim shemadlikim behem b'shabbos. Shabbos demands total, absolute, complete reliability to the tune of a 99% success rate. 99 out of 100 wicks like this will burn okay. Then the 1% you don't have to worry about on Shabbos. I can live with it. Because it's totally reliable. Those are the psilos ushmanim shemadlikim ben Shabbos. They're certainly good for Hanukkah.
Why would we request to shrink the zebra Shabbat?
Because I think malacha. The farmer guy might, if it's flickering, it might be malacha. He might fix it. So therefore they want an absolute reliability, which is 99% or 95%. Not less. Otherwise, chas v'sholom, the man will get involved with malacha. So Shabbos, they had a very high standard of reliability. Has to be psilos ushman shmadlik member Shabbos means totally reliable, and the unreliability that it could flicker is a meat, something which is a minority possibility. She ain't no lot sui, but not at all likely, not at all that I have to worry about. It's so unlikely. It's a meat. She ain't no lot sui. Then I consider it a candle shmadlik member Shabbos. Anything below that. And then we have a mute of shemayata, which a flickering, which is mutzi. Even has a 70% reliability rate, but 30% of those candles flicker. Puzzle
Asur Chil Shabbos to use that, because 30% of these candles are flickering. Chas v'shalom, someone should light such a thing on Shabbos, he might fix it. So on Shabbos, a very high standard of reliability. Now you come to Hanukkah. So the Gemara says, can you use a candle which is only 70% reliable on Hanukkah?
Yeah.
Or do you have to have 99% reliability? Depends. If you say kafsa zakukla,
it has to be 99%.
If you say kafsa einoi zakukla, which is like Rav, it could be 70%.
We pass him like Rav.
As long, even if the miut is matsui, even if the miut is matsui, it's still kosher for Hanukkah. Why? Because kafsa einoi zakukla. That's what the Gemara says. So the question is, why are we being so lenient, according to Rav, on Hanukkah? Why shouldn't Hanukkah require reliable candles? Just to have a robe. Most of the time it burns okay. It's a strange halacha. You go bust a robe.
It's Romans Durban. It's not like Sandy Rita. It'll be normal for Shabbat to Israel Rita. Whereas over here it's Mitzvah.
If you say
Israel Lota say with your right, but this is an Ase of the Rabbanan.
Yeah, Shabbos is the Raita and a Shash of Malacha. Therefore they want very good candles. But Hanukkah is only the Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan were satisfied with grade B or grade C candles, as long as they have a robe. As long as most of them are okay, you can still use it. Yes?
You'll see that Shabbos, since they're worried that they might fix it, they're stringent. But here in Hanukkah, there's no problem with fixing it. It's not a learning journey to fix it, but not as...
Right. So right. Correct. You're right. Why is kafsa zakukla? According to our phone, it says kafsa zakukla. Then you require top reliability, grade A candles for Hanukkah. Why kafsa zakukla? The zakukla introduces an element of total reliability. Why does the zakukla change it?
We'll fix it because of the incidental secular use of the lights on Shabbos.
No, I'm talking about Hanukkah now.
On Hanukkah.
Why wasn't Hanukkah during the week?
Oh, because why they'll be negligent.
They'll be negligent. And if Kafsa ain't a Zakukla, you don't have to light it again. There's no problem of negligence. Because he doesn't have to light it anyway.
Only on the Sinai of another condition, which is that Usulish Tamish.
Oh, he's not talking about the Shabbos issue. I'm not talking about Shabbos Hanukkah. I'm talking about during the week.
Okay.
During the week, Kafsa ain't a Zakukla, since there's no problem of he won't fix it.
So there's nothing to be negligent about.
Right, so therefore we let him take away. He can get grade B, grade C candles are good enough on Hanukkah. So now, Rabotai, I want to say like this. Okay, this is how Rashi explains it. Because Rashi says, because of the problem of the Zakukla, there'll be a Pshia. So the Zakukla, if you say Zakukla, means he has to fix it. And these candles have a 30-40% dropout rate. And we want him to fix those candles. And since he may not fix it, so therefore we say it's possible to begin. But if Kofsa ain't a Zakukla, so who cares if he fixes it or not? He doesn't have to. Why do these things have a shear? Because they have at least a 51% reliability. That gives them the shear. So it's better than the candles without a shear. The candles without a shear have less than a 50% reliability. That's why they're puzzled. But these things, are the grade B candles, or Shein Arik Mem B'Shabbos, they have a 51%+ reliability. Shabbos is not good enough because it might cause malach. But Hanukkah is only a question, will he relight it when they go out? If Kafsa Zakukla, he has to relight it, so Chum said Pasuk. He may not do it. If Kafsa Eina Zakukla, he doesn't have to relight it, so the Chum don't care if he uses them, and he's Yotzei. So I want to say something. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. But there's still something which is missing. I want to add something. Now, this is me.
The way you're explaining it now is according to really the way Tosfos and the Havamina understands how to read the Gemara, and not Rashi, who divides he has to make a separation between the week and Shabbos, whereas Tosfos is dealing with it as a
let's just deal with the week now.
Right,
so I would suggest the following. Listen very carefully. I may be right or wrong. Because the way Rashi does it, it's based upon another gezeira, Shema Yifsha. If Zakuk Lo, we want him to fix it, and if he won't, so it'll be a problem. Gzeira Shema Yifsha, so we make it possible at the beginning. So it's like a gzeira l'gzeira. Since the mitzvah of Rabbanon to light candles and to keep them burning according to Rabbanon for a whole half an hour, and if it's bad wicks, they have a good chance of going out. And who says he'll fix it? Shema Yifsha, maybe he won't. Therefore, we don't want him to the first place it's possible. This is how the straight shot of the Gemara is. But if according to Rav, who said, Kavsa ein zaka gula, so let's say 30% of the grain wheat candles go out, it's not a problem, because he doesn't have to relight them anyway. He was already Yotze. You have a shear, he was Yotze. Kavsa ein zaka gula. You don't have to relight it again. There's no reason to make a gazeo. That's what the Gemara says according to the straight shot. Correct? I want to suggest something else, because we're getting here a gazela shema yipsha.
30%, that's not a shema.
The whole gazela is because of the 30%. There's a 30% chance it's going to go out.
Okay,
and that 30% which will go out, zakukla, according to Akuna, and maybe he won't do it. So therefore the rabbi said, let's not have even 30%. We want 99% reliability. So only 1% goes out, there's no reason to worry about it. But if 30% will go out, Shema Yifsha, maybe. But according to Rav, says Kavsa ain't a Zakukla, you don't have to fix it. So even if 30% go out, it doesn't bother us. He was Yotze. That's how the simple pshat, according to the way Rashi sets it up. A Botai, there's a problem with this pshat, because this pshat is that the Rabbanon made something possible. The Psilos Ushman, Shaman, the 30%, grade B, grade C candles, apostle for Hanukkah, because of a gzeira, maybe he won't fix them. It's like a gzeira to protect the mitzvah of Rabbanon. Why not say he won't fix them? Who tells you? How do you know he won't fix them? Who told you he won't fix them? Why won't he fix them? Because he's a nice Jew. He wants to light Hanukkah candles. Why should he worry about it? If it's an Issa Deraisa, now the gzeira maybe he will violate an Issa Deraisa. The whole thing is a mitzvah of Rabbanon. Make a gzeira shema yifsha for a mitzvah of Rabbanon? That's the difficulty here. So therefore I want to suggest another pshat which is not based at all on a gezeira. The way Rashi learns the Gemara, it's a problem of making a gezeira on these grade B, grade C candles because of the din of kafsa zakukla. So we make a gezeira to avoid the whole problem. To make all candles 99% reliable so you don't be a problem. He'll have zakukla. But if Kavsa ain't a Zakukla, so fine, so let him use a grade B candle. So he won't fix it, it doesn't make a difference to us. Kavsa ain't a Zakukla. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. This is difficult because to make a gezeira in a mitzvah of Rabbanon, because you're afraid people won't do what they're supposed to do, in a din d'oraisa maybe, but in a din d'Rabbanon, it's very difficult. It's we call it gezeira l'gezeira, gezeira in a mitzvah of Rabbanon. That's why Rashi shot, it sounds, it's very facile, very simple pshat, but it's a problematic pshat that you're making a gazela. So I want to suggest something which is not so simple, but it's not a gazela. I want to go back, this is very longest, I want to go back to our original discussion that we said that Neiros Hanukkah have two mitzvahs, or two after the same mitzvah. One, to be a madlik, to light in their Hanukkah, and the second part of the mitzvah is to produce a certain level of expected pirsum hanes, an expectation of pirsum hanes, a half hour's worth of pirsum hanes, expected. You expect it. So, the question is, which of these two things is the main mitzvah, and which is the secondary? Which is the Ikka HaMitzvah and which is the Tznai of the Mitzvah? Is the Ikka HaMitzvah of Hanukkah Lahavlik Ner? But there's a secondary aspect to be to create an expectation of Pirsum of the Nes. Or is the Ikka HaMitzvah to create the expectation of Pirsum of the Nes And that's why I light the Ner Chanukah. What's the Ikar HaMitzvah? The Hadlokas Neiros or the Pirsum HaNes? I'm going to suggest that this is the machlokes, whether you say kofsa zokukla or you say kofsa eno zokukla. If you say kofsa zokukla, that if it goes out you have to light it again, then clearly the ikra hamitzvah is the pirsum anes. And the adlok is just a tnai to get the pirsum anes. So even if it goes out, you have to light it again. You didn't get the pirsum anes. The expected pirsum anes. It didn't go through for a half an hour. So if you say kofsa zokukla like we have punna, the pirsum anes is the ikar mitzvah. And the adlok is a tnai. But if you say kofsa eino zokukla, he lights it and it goes out, he doesn't have to light it again, then clearly what's the ikar hamitzvah? The hadlaka. The pirsum anes, just it's nice, something nice.
So according to that approach then the shear shouldn't be based on how long it's going to burn, the shear should be based on how hard it will be for the candle to go out.
Okay, well, we'll talk about the shear.
You keep talking about how long it's supposed to burn, our issue should be if it's just the hadlaka, then the ikar will end up passing the way that way. We shouldn't necessarily
base
the
shear
on how long.
Okay, we're getting. Okay, good. So now we want to talk about the psilos u'shmanim she'ein mavlikim mehem b'shabbos. What's the story with these psilos u'shmanim? They, you can like them, there's no problem, but their reliability is a problem. They have a very high failure rate. Not chas v'shalom, 51%. Then it's not a shear. They have a 30% failure rate. They're not great big racy candles. If the main mitzvah is what? To light them kosher. Because you can make a good hadlokas neiros with these things.
Even they got extinguished.
But it's a great big, but it's 70% of them burn the half an hour. So a nice hadlok I can do. And the condition that it should have an expected pirsum anes, so the 70% expectation is also good enough. It's not the main mitzvah. There's only a tnai. So therefore, if you say kofsa, eino zokukla, which means that the main mitzvah is hadlaka, and the pirsum anes is just a tnai. The fact that it has rov for pirsum anes, because 70% lasts, only a mi with hamatzui fails. So it has enough pirsum anes for the tznach, and therefore the hadlaka is kosher. That's why tzilus v'shmanim, grade B, grade C, she'ein madlik mem b'shabbos, madlik mem b'chanukah, if you say kofsa, ein zokukla. But if you say kofsa zokukla, what does that mean?
In b'shabbat.
That the ikar hamitzvah of Chanukah is what? The pirsum of the nes. Then I have to have total reliability for pirsum anes. I have to focus on the pirsum anes. Then how, what kind of a candle must I use for the pirsum anes? Grade A. Psilos u'shmanim she'ein madlikim mehem b'shabbos ein madlikim mehem b'chanukah. You have no guarantee of pirsum anes. It's only a very likelihood, no guarantee. But this is the main part of the mitzvah. You can't light such a candle. That's why it's possible. In other words, no gzeir shem yifsha. That's a difficult shot. It's based upon the ikar definition of the mitzvah Chanukah. If the mitzvah Chanukah is the ikar piercing of the nets, that means I always say kofsa zokukla. So then I have to have psilos u'shmanim shemadlikim behem b'shabbos, because there have to be candles for piercing my nets, which means 100% reliability, or 99% for the half an hour. But if the ikar mitzvah is hadlakas neis, the pirsum anes is a nice secondary thing. It's a nice tnai, not the ikar. So then you say kofsa ein zokukla. If you light it and it goes out, you have to light it again. You are yotze hadlakas neis. Pirsum anes is just a secondary inyan. Don't have to worry about it in the d'evid. If it goes out, ein zokukla. Then I can use even shmanim, which are only 70% reliable, because these shmanim she'ein mavikim ben b'shabbos are weak in the pirsum anes dimension. But as far as hadlokas neiros, they're perfect. You make a perfect hadlokah. And since the ikar mitzvah is, according to this opinion of Rav, hadlokah ein zokukla, I can use psilos u'shmanim she'ein mavikim ben b'shabbos. I can use the Hanukkah because the main mitzvah of Hanukkah is Hadlakas HaNer, and these psilos, which are not reliable for Shabbos because they're grade B, grade C, Hanukkah doesn't require this standard of reliability.
Chol
Hanukkah, because the main mitzvah is Hadlakas HaNer, not Pirsum HaNetzach. And therefore, since Hadlakas HaNer is achievable with these grade B, grade C wicks, the Gemara says you can use them for Hanukkah. Good?
Good. Just trying to understand, really answering the question of why, of behind, well, on the surface, why does Rav hold Amos Zuckin? Well, I mean, who, the Rashi doesn't address why they hold Zuckin.
Right, right.
Only tells us what the implication
is. Right. This chat is a chat of the law.
Oh.
That's why it's good. I take no credit. I'm just a good tape recorder. Katsushal. Sabatushal. Okay. Okay. Now, Rabotai, I have another question. You want to take a 10-minute lunch break?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, take a 10-minute lunch break, and then we'll continue.
Rabbi, I want to have a break. Can I just
follow up what?
Follow up with what I was telling you.
In my office? I'm going to go back into my office. I'll eat my grapes in my office. I'll be back in 10, 15 minutes. I want to do now the Tosfos about Shabbos. It's very b'shmak. It's Rav Shabbos. That's a b'shmak of Rav
Shabbos.
Connected to Rashi, no? Connected to Rashi. Rashi learns Zeru Shem and Yisha. But making Zeru and Yisha is not gone.
So Rashi shows that the only thing that argument is that all for Rav Shabbos is to be great. Why not? Rashi shows that the argument is that Rav only needs to be a bit.
You don't see anything like that? Good. You alone have made up my name, Shri Yudhi.
Just a second, please. Okay. I'm playing with my card.
I know it's very important.
Recording?
Yes, they are right.
This is still recording. Can I stop it? Can we stop it? It's still recording the whole time.
Oh my goodness.
Well, stop it.
Well, Rebbe does. Rebbe does.
I thought Rebbe was going to turn it up. How did it take you to do that?